You're listening to Ocean Currents, a podcast brought to you by NOAA's Cordell Bank National Marine Sanctuary. This radio program was originally broadcast on KWMR in Point Reyes Station, California. Thanks for listening. And thanks for joining me today on Ocean Currents. My name is Jennifer Stock, and on this show, we delve into the blue, watery part of our planet and highlight ocean-related topics. We talk with scientists, educators, explorers, policymakers, ocean enthusiasts, ocean adventurers, and more, all trying to uncover and learn about the mysterious and vital part of our planet. I bring this show to you from NOAA's Cordell Bank National Marine Sanctuary. Cordell Bank is one of four special areas in California waters that are part of the National Marine Sanctuary System, and it's located just offshore of the KWMR listening radius off the Marin-Sonoma coast. So today we have two shows in one. Today we have two very different topics, and we'll keep you on your toes. On the first half hour, I'll be talking with Nancy Iverson, a swimmer and by profession a doctor in San Francisco. And we've had Nancy on the show in the past, and we're going to get an update from a program that she does where she works with Native American tribes in Pine Ridge and is working at improving their lifestyles, a program that involves swimming in San Francisco Bay. So we'll bring her on. And on the second half of the show, we will be having Josh Adams on from the USGS talking about a mysterious seabird that moves down up and down the North Pacific and is heading south right now, the sooty shearwater. And we'll hear a little bit about this incredible seabird. So please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Ocean Currents, and my name is Jennifer Stock. And on the phone with me, I have Nancy Iverson. The ocean is a source of life for millions of organisms. It generates air for us to breathe, food for us to eat, energy, jobs, recreation, and often unrecognized but felt very deeply by many of us is the psychological or emotional outlet for us. My guest Nancy Iverson uses the San Francisco as a place for such enjoyment and has been inspiring others, bringing the Native American Lakota tribe to San Francisco Bay, and we'll talk with her about that. And I want to welcome Nancy. Welcome. You're live on the air on KWMR.
Thanks, Jennifer.
It's nice to have you back. We talked just, I guess, over a year or so now ago, right before the San Francisco Ocean Film Festival, where your film From the Badlands to Alcatraz, which depicts this whole story so beautifully, it debuted at the film festival. And you founded this nonprofit organization called PathStar, which focuses on the preservation of traditions and healing. And I'd love for you to kind of recap for listeners that may not have been around with us then about this program that you've started and the whole story that the film was based on.
Ooh, where to start? Well, one, I live in San Francisco, as you mentioned, and I got very hooked on swimming in the bay in 1993, actually. I had a lot of problems with back pain, and the cold water of the bay drew me in there. I found it very soothing for the pain. So, ironically, I'm one of the people that's actually welcoming the cold of the bay rather than daunted by the cold of the bay. Around that same time, I also worked some as a pediatrician in the Indian Health Service Hospital at Pine Ridge, which is in South Dakota. I'm originally from South Dakota, so I had gone back and done some work there. And several things that I saw and just the way that I kind of think about how we can encourage healthy lifestyle and help reverse the trend into diabetes, heart disease, obesity, that's a national trend and hugely in a crisis mode among the Native American population, just led me to ideas to try to start a program or to start a program that would actually try to encourage changes on a core level so that they would be sustainable changes for people to reconnect with their old traditions of healthy lifestyles and healthy nutrition.
Can you describe the Pine Ridge Reservation a bit for us? When I was reading up on it, it really set me back the second time around in terms of the state of their community there. Can you just describe it a little bit?
It's an extraordinary place. It's sometimes described as the domestic third world, and some of the statistics about Pine Ridge are pretty harsh. It sits in Shannon County, which is the poorest county in the United States, and the per capita income is about $4,000 per year. One of the really incredible statistics there is that the life expectancy on Pine Ridge is 20 years less than the national average. So the only place in the Western Hemisphere with a lower life expectancy than Pine Ridge Reservation is Haiti. The unemployment rate is about 85 to 90%.
This is in the United States, and I think that's one thing that's really difficult to hear in terms of, I know we have such a range of economic scenarios here in the United States, but when you talk about the per capita, $4,000 a year, and the life expectancy, that's right here in our country. So I just find that to be such an interesting fact for this group of people that are really trying hard to stay alive and vibrant.
Yeah, and one of the things that's true, it's really generational now. So one of the things that I really think needs to be incorporated in any program is to just sort of turn the tide around on the generations. The 85 to 90% unemployment rate, as much time as I've spent on Pine Ridge, it's still really hard for me to get my head around what it means to live in a community where most of the people really don't work or have the prospect of working, especially in a meaningful way, which is something in mainstream United States, most of us have the expectation that we are going to fulfill some sort of life dream, be gainfully employed, be able to do something beyond just basic life functions every day.
Mm-hmm. So you started this program about 9 years ago now?
Well, we're coming up, Jennifer, onto our ninth.
That's amazing.
Alcatraz Swim Program Week next week. So, yeah, we actually had plans in motion to have our first program occur in 2001, but the events of 9/11 really stopped air traffic for a bit, and that was just when we were going to have our first group fly out from South Dakota.
Mm. So it's been 9 years now. It's probably been a nice time for you to reflect and see some of the changes in terms of the participants and going back to their reservations and making changes. Can you tell any stories of any of the people and how they've changed after their experience of working with you and swimming in San Francisco Bay?
Yeah, there's a few stories. One, for the viewers who have, or the listeners who have viewed the film, they may recall there's two sisters in there. One sister went back after doing the Alcatraz swim and actually finished high school and started into college, which she said she did that because she'd done the Alcatraz swim and realized she could do more than she thought she would be able to before if she just put her mind to it. There's one young man who's gone back and worked with South Dakota State Extension and has worked over 3 years, first one community garden on Pine Ridge and then two, and then the following summer, 13 community gardens. We've really worked hard to develop some degree of sustainability and some degree of what people come out here and participate is really going to get implemented back home. And I'm very excited to say that this year, it looks like we have a three-generation family coming. We have Terry Mills, who has participated in the past, his daughter Nakina, who's also a participant, and her son, Shai, who is a baby, so we're not expecting him to swim Alcatraz, but I love the idea that he's being included in the circle of a family working to develop healthier lifestyles.
That's wonderful. That's really powerful.
We also have a father-son team coming from Pine Ridge for the first time. And then we also have a mother-daughter team coming from Ketchikan, Alaska.
That's neat. So you're diversifying a little bit in terms of the geographic location of some of these tribes this year?
We are. We thought we'd sort of throw out the invitation and see who responded. One of the things that we committed to in the last year, which we did, was to be in at least three national Native or Indigenous wellness / diabetes prevention conferences. And so during the times of those conferences, we also communicated with other tribal members and put out the invitation. So we've got people coming from Ketchikan and also from the Colville Federated Tribes in eastern Washington.
Wonderful. So this has really become a program that's growing and expanding. And how are you able to sustain this yourself? Are you bringing on more resources in terms of trying to help sustain this? I'm sure that funding is quite a challenge, but it sounds like it's really needed to keep this going.
Funding is a challenge, and funding is really needed. I am happy to say this year we have, as of last week, we hit our fall funding goal so we can move into next week feeling confident that we're going to be able to cover all the expenses for the program. One other new thing that we did this year, we've alluded to it in the past, but this year we worked to formalize it a bit, is encouraging people who are participating to really work within their own communities or tribes to get some sponsorship. And the group coming from Alaska, from Ketchikan, has actually worked with their own tribe to sponsor a diabetes prevention grant. So they're actually working to get the funding, which ultimately I see most sustainable. When the participants really take ownership of the program and their responsibility for ability to contribute to keep it going. So I'm very, very excited about that.
That's wonderful. And then the community wants to hear back about how it went. So that's one of the questions I have. It's such a great thing. You spent about a week with them really talking about healthy lifestyles and preparing for this swim, but it's a huge contrast in terms of where they come from. When they go back, how do they start helping to educate others and helping to make some of these changes in their communities? I heard you talking about a community garden. Was that started up from one of the participants?
I don't know if he single-handedly started it, but he had a big role in getting it started. And the idea that there are 13 community gardens throughout Pine Ridge now is really exciting to me.
That's wonderful. So can they learn a little bit about gardening while they're here?
Yes,
area.
I am so excited, Jennifer, for this year. One of our days here, we've always visited farmers markets, and I've tried to pick farmers markets that would be most kind of realistic for what they might want to replicate back at home.
Mm-hmm.
This year we actually get to go to a farm, spend the afternoon with the farmer, hear how he started his farming, gotten involved with farmers markets, help him with the harvest, help him pack it up and take it to his local farmers market and help him prepare for the farmers market. So we get to have hands-on experience. Pretty much, obviously not from planting the seeds and stuff, but from the time of being on the farm all the way through harvesting and participating in the farmer's market. So I am so excited about that.
That is incredible. That seems like a real sustainable thing that's not a huge cost, although there's startup costs, but being able to really get more people involved back at home with that.
Well, and part of what I'd like to help people look at is what do they have that's already there that they're just
right.
not necessarily utilizing in the same way.
That's exciting.
So, like, there may be people that have gardens that don't really work collectively to make sure that food gets distributed throughout the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So doing something like a farmer's market, not necessarily the way we do them here in California, but as an afternoon giveaway or a community gathering, something like that, but to just trigger ideas that are kind of like, aha, we could do this at home.
That's great. What are some of the other ideas that participants express before they head back that they're interested in trying to do when they get back?
Well, we prepare the first meal, and then after that, the participants prepare all the meals. We do the shopping, and we meet with dietitians and health educators throughout the week so that hopefully the shopping and the food we have available makes sense to them. But I really want this to be an experience that can continue on at home. So starting on Monday morning, they do their food preparation. And if we're gone during the day, everybody helps to pack a picnic that we take with them so that we're not out shopping for fast food. We're not kind of running out of food on the run and trying to find something just to get over being hungry. We're actually being really thoughtful with food, doing things in a simple way, but doing things in a way that anybody would be able to do back at home.
Mm-hmm. And this starts next week, so you're running around right now, huh?
Uh-huh.
Thank you for joining us again. I'm talking with Nancy Iverson, who is a doctor in San Francisco that is founded a nonprofit called PathStar, and she works with Native American tribes in South Dakota and encouraging healthy lifestyles. And the culmination event happens in San Francisco, and I want to hear a little bit more about the swim. How do you plan the swim? Because this is a very special swim that not everybody can do, just logistically crossing an area where there's big ships and all the time. Tell me about the planning of the swim from Alcatraz to shore in San Francisco.
It is immense, but again, in a way, the swim is a reality, Jennifer, and it's also a metaphor. I think it is so important for people to have the experience of being encouraged and really aiming for a goal, but then being encouraged in the tools that give them success to reach that goal. So we have 8 practice swims during the week. This year we have 11 people on our roster. 3 have come before and participated. We have 8 brand new people, which is pretty much how the mix turns out every year. We partner up a past star participant with an experienced swimmer for every single one of the swims, whether it's the first swim, when we just get in the water, to the actual Alcatraz swim. So by the time the Alcatraz swim comes up, which is a week from the first Monday, they will have had 8 swims in the bay. Each one we aim at increasing the time in the water, getting a little further out from the shore, and really working a rhythm so that they can participate in be encouraged by their partner and develop confidence that they will be able to make it across. And it's absolutely amazing, the day of the swim. We've done this. This will be our 9th PathStar Alcatraz swim. And every year we garner more support and enthusiasm. We're very, very heavily piloted. To be doing open water swimming, we have to have boat pilots. And again, just like I want the one-to-one swim partnering, we have a rowboat or a kayak or someone on a surfboard accompanying each swim pair across the bay, too. And we can always use plenty of support. It's just a really exciting day.
It is, sounds wonderful. I just viewing the video, that's such a powerful piece, is hearing the music and the swimming. I'm a swimmer, too, and it's just there is a big metaphor there in terms of growth and challenge and accomplishment and feeling good. And what are some of their initial reactions after they've done this? It's 1.5 miles swim across?
Well, it's 1.2 miles across. So the swim is usually, of course, a bit longer. It can be even up to 2 miles swimming, just depending on how much kind of zigzagging there is with the currents out there. It's a cross-current swim, so very seldom is anybody able to swim just straight across. So we time it more in terms of the amount of time it takes rather than the actual distance covered, because we don't really know the distance covered.
Yeah.
Another thing that we have really aimed to do, and again, we build as we go along, but community is so important, and the spirit of community, working together, those who are stronger and faster, encouraging those who are weaker and slower. So our intention that we've set throughout the week is that we'll all intend to finish together. And so each swimmer is kind of paired up with other abilities, but to start training on that during the week, where not only do you overcome your own fears, but you look for ways to help other people that are maybe struggling a little bit more than you are. And when it does work that everybody swims that final piece together, it's just incredible.
That's awesome. Do students want to come back to, I mean, obviously you have some repeats that come for a few years, but do they want to come back and swim in other areas or enjoy the bay again?
Some of them do, especially for South Dakota people. The bay is a long ways away. There was a group who, the PathStar group from 2006, had learned back in Pine Ridge about a pool that was going to be closed because they didn't have lifeguard support. And they so badly wanted to keep the pool open that they contracted independently with the Red Cross to do some lifeguard training. So I look at that as a very positive
Wow.
follow-up. And that was without any of my guidance or anything. That's just something they took on themselves when they got home.
Fantastic. How do you keep up on all the stories? I mean, it sounds like there's so many things that are so small, but they really are significant back at Pine Ridge. And do you have just, is there some way to check in terms of getting all this information? Because this is really the success of this program, is the change that's happening back there.
Yeah, I do my best. It's one of the places where, you know, people are often asking how they can help and how they can volunteer, and to have some, we're entirely volunteer run. We don't have any paid staff. And anybody that would like to volunteer to help compile some of these stories or help with that, we would love to hear from those people. One of the things that we've really encouraged with the people coming this year is they really think about coming out as the start of a year-long association with PathStar, so that they're sort of at home keeping the momentum going with staying in touch with us, letting us know what's happening. With the conferences that we joined last year, the Native American Health Conferences, I helped coordinate PathStar's role in that, but in each one, a previous PathStar participant was part of the panel that presented. So the participants are coming back and doing the teaching now as well.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. It's what you probably hoped for in the end.
It's totally what I hoped for. I would love, really, if we could success ourselves out of existence. When we've done enough to inspire ideas that are coming from the communities and communities working within their own communities to encourage change, and especially healthy lifestyles, we wouldn't need to exist anymore. And then we could be doing it just sort of as a triumphal moment. So I look forward to that day when every community has such a great investment in their own well-being and sees the possibilities of healthy futures.
That's wonderful. So what are you most excited about for next week?
As the momentum gains, of course, right now it's a logistical nightmare as I'm putting together all the different details that need to be attended to. But it is incredible to just start with that first swim and see how people progress during the week. And so I'm really looking forward to meeting. I don't know most of the people that are coming again this year. I've corresponded with all of them. But I've not met most of them, so to just really see and be a part of the transformations that occur during the week, I'm really, really excited about that.
That's wonderful. It makes it all worth it, all that time. I know very well the amount of effort that goes into planning these details, and meeting the students and participants is always the warmest part.
It's also cool. We have age range this year in participants from 14 up to 62.
Oh, that's great.
Which is a really, well, and I'm not counting the little babies going to be on the sidelines, but in terms of swimmers and real program participants. And I'm very excited about that age spread, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody come together and really work together as a team. I also love the group here locally that volunteers and stuff. It is just such a great experience for me, and it's not to, I do a lot of very, very hard work and a lot of stressing out as much as I try to de-stress about it, but it is really a joy to see how everybody starts to light up and respond, and the layers of generosity just really, really spread, and it becomes so exciting during the week.
That's awesome. How can people contact you after this week, of course, if they wanted to volunteer or donate or get involved somehow?
The best to actually reach me directly would be to go through the PathStar website, which is pathstar.org, PathStar.org. And one of the logistics, our website is pretty well kept up, but it doesn't have details of this coming week in there. So they should overlook that but to go to the contact through, and those emails come to me.
Okay.
There's also, of course, we are a 501c3, and we welcome donations. We have, like I said, we're covered for this next week, which is a fantastic feeling. But we've also committed that we're, you know, going into next year, that we're planning to help people set up similar programs in the communities from which they come. So there's an ongoing appreciation of generosity with donating, too.
Fantastic. So people can stay involved for the next year and be in touch with you to help volunteer as well. And I look forward to hearing about the outcomes. I'm sure there'll be something in the media, the news about this in terms of the success at the end of the week. So we'll be keeping our ears posted.
Well, the other thing, too, it's always a little, we don't know exactly when we're finishing the swim, but certainly if anybody wants to come down to be on the dock to see the swimmers come in, it'll be Monday, October 17th. And I'm just recommending that people be on the dock at the South End Rowing Club, which is 500 Jefferson Street mm-hmm. at Hyde in San Francisco. And if people plan to be on the dock about 9:30, they may have to stand on the dock for a while. It just depends on how long it takes us to get in as swimmers. But it's really wonderful to be there. And then we do a follow-up. Right away we have a meal after all the swimmers are in. And if people want to come to that, we do that as a potluck meal. And again, we would encourage healthful foods, primarily healthy fruit and vegetable dishes if people wanted to come and bring a potluck. But we love to have people come and really witness the culmination of the week.
That's wonderful. Well, we're just about out of time here, and I just want to say good luck to you next week and to all the participants coming. And I hope that the weather cooperates and it's a very nice program for you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks so much. I'm going to just repeat your website for you. So if people would like to get interested, learn more, and actually see clips from the video, you can go to pathstar.org to contact Nancy to find out a way to volunteer or to donate. And if people are interested in seeing the participants come in, these are people that have only probably seen the bay for the very first time and started training this week or next week, a few days before they do a big swim from Alcatraz to shore. You can come down to the South End Rowing Club on Monday the 17th of October, about 9:30, and keep your eyes posted as they come across, and feel free to bring a healthy potluck meal as well. That's wonderful. So thanks so much, Nancy, and I really appreciate the work you're doing. It's a really great community program that you've started, and it sounds like it's growing nationally, and that's really wonderful.
Well, thanks, Jennifer.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we've just been talking with Nancy Iverson, the founder of PathStar, and we've just been hearing about this program where she's been working with communities in South Dakota at the Pine Ridge Reservation, and a really inspirational way to bring people out to San Francisco Bay. They're learning about healthy lifestyles, and they are swimming in San Francisco Bay as well. Pretty exciting. So we are going to switch gears in just a minute here. When we come back, I'll be talking with Josh Adams about sooty shearwaters. Thanks for tuning in.